Yeah, that's a New Year's Eve song if I've ever heard
it. It's got kind of a countdown theme to it. It's got sort of like a
and
something's
a trickle.
Coming.
That's nice. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in for Steve Cochran today and tomorrow. And joining us in studio, part of our New Year's Eve celebratory show, is Lisa Donovan, Red Eye News editor. Good morning.
Good morning.
This has been a huge year in news.
It is, and I can't believe it's over already. I mean,
hopefully we don't
have
anything.
Not to start on a negative note, but I do feel like we lost a few Chicago icons I have to touch on. First of all, we covered obviously the loss of Jane Byrne, who passed away this year, Chicago's first and only female mayor in Chicago to date.
Thus far, yes.
Thus far. Keep going, girls. and then we also lost, I think, another kind of Chicago icon, Hot Dogs. I think the owner, Doug Sohn, he not only put out this great food, but he was a great ambassador of sorts, really. I mean, all these tourists would come in, and I just think he was sort of part of this fabric of Chicago, even if he wasn't around 50 years. He just became part of the city that people sought out beyond sort of maybe the other tourist traps around and about. And so
certainly, on the food side, as people look at Chicago as a food thing, like Doug was one of those, like
those
you said,
guys.
A tourist attraction. Yeah.
And I think he was a foodie, but I think he was so approachable. There was no snobbery there. He was a down-to-earth Chicago guy that you stood in line forever, and you got there, and he had a minute to chat with you about anything. Where'd you go for vacation? How were your kids? This, and that. I mean, he's just you felt like he was a friend.
And
I think everybody did.
That's exactly it. So many people felt that way as well. And for him to have shut the business down on a whim, I mean, it was his own deal. He didn't have a reason to. He didn't lose his lease.
Right.
But kind of demonstrated that he was like a Chicago guy and he was going to go out in his own terms.
And go out on top, right?
Yep.
If you're getting burned out and you've got that kind of, I don't know, brand, you want to go out on top if you want to do something else. You don't want to get sick of it. You don't. And I have no idea whether he was, but if he wants to do something else, then he should. But definitely go out on top.
On the prediction side, and Andy can speculate on this probably later, is I don't know if it was a whim. He did give a lot of fans, and I think that was considered. He wanted to make a change, but he gave people a lot of time plan their trip down there to visit him.
Was it spring? I think he put out a notice on his website, sort of, these are the vacation dates, permanent vacation starts October,
like
I can't remember,
28th
or something
like that. Yeah.
And so it was very typical Doug Sohn. I mean, it was hilarious, but it was like, what? You know, was this a joke? You know, what's going on? So, yeah, very sad.
And to lump him in with the passing of Jane Byrne is a little bit different because, you know, he's got a tremendous business success. The whole world, you know, his future is open to him. Do you have any kind of ideas? Did he ever say, I want to go hang gliding or I want to, you know, climb the Matterhorn?
You know, in talking to him, I know that he loves traveling. So I suspect that he's doing a little bit of that. He is doing some promotion on the existing Twitter feed for the business. There's a lot of promotion for this foodseum that they're looking at building. I think a few reports said it was going to be this next year.
Yeah, I think it's 2015-2016 opening.
So there's some fundraising going on, and so I don't know if he will be part of that. I mean, in one way or another, he'll be part of it because he's part of sort of our food map of the city, so and history and all those things. So definitely, I think you'll see him emerge somewhere. I just don't know. I'm wondering whether it will be another restaurant. I suspect maybe not.
This is off topic, but considering we were just talking about the foodseum, I'm very interested because many museums have wings or areas, and I think that the foodseum should just have stands. Like this is our hot dog stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Our iBeef stand. Just go over here and
like
hang
micro
out.
Food trucks.
Yes.
Revolving micro food trucks.
All right. So what else happened? We've got so many things.
So many things. I think we started off the year with this polar vortex that sent everybody indoors. Schools were canceled. It looks like we're getting a little taste of that today.
I'm sorry. Knocking on wood.
Up and down kind of year, you know. It seemed like we had kind of a lot of bad news, Ebola, you know, scary things going on in the world. We had the police-involved shootings of men in both Missouri and New York.
Which is piggybacking on the Florida shooting.
Exactly, exactly. And so what you've seen and you continue to see are a lot of protests nationwide, including Chicago. They don't seem to be abating. This is sort of, it's sustained. It's in neighborhoods. And so I think it'll be interesting to follow this because I don't see it ending. And I think that some conversations and policy changes probably are in the works.
Well, you mentioned conversations and policy changes. Is that hopefully where things will go so that everybody kind of is comfortable? Everybody is kind of comfortable mm-hmm. with whatever their relationship with the police is? Or do you see this being, you know, these are kind of the precursors of some other bigger, even more kind of negative tragedy situation as there's kind of another clash or conflict?
I mean, I think that it's probably incumbent on city leaders to have this discussion with community leaders. And I can't predict what will happen. But I do think that people feel disenfranchised, and I think that they want to be part of the conversation. They feel like there's, you know, two sets of rules for people in the city. And so there's going to have to be a discussion with city leaders and stakeholders in these communities to get it, you know, how do we resolve this? And I don't think it happens in a year. I don't think it happens in 2017. You know, I think it's years.
Well, and we have quite a disparity in our city because we have people protesting about these police shootings that have happened throughout the country. And yet 4th of July was one of the heaviest gun violence weekends, not police involved. I mean, people were shooting other people. And so this is something we were just talking to Karen Conti about this as well. We have laws that are supposed to protect our citizens, and they're not necessarily even being enforced. They're definitely being ignored. So this is a deeper discussion, especially here in Chicago.
Absolutely, about crime and you know, socioeconomics. I mean, we could be here for hours to discuss sort of how
we've got time. Yeah. We're good. We're here till 10.
So, I mean, it's a larger discussion. Crime is one part of it. Taking a wider view, I'm watching The Wire now, and so you kind of get all these sort of issues sort of wrapped into one. It's education, it's crime, it's even how our media covers this stuff and presents it, and we're all part of it. It's a reminder to take what we do very, very seriously.
We are going to take a quick break, come back with news, and of course, keep up to date on what's going on with the South Loop fire, among other stories we've been following. Lisa Donovan will again join us on the other side as well to continue wrapping up our 2014 news in review time with her. How nice. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in for Steve Cochran. More after this on WGN.
720 WGN. Dane Neal, Hannah Stanley in for the Steve Cochran Show on New Year's Eve. And we are not alone. We've got our great able-bodied staff here with us. We've got Steve, we've got Andy, and we've got Lisa Donovan from
News, news editor of the Red Eye. We were talking about 2014 stories in review. Something about the music selection today from Jasmine's making me feel like I should be in some sort of a sequined little cocktail dress. And I'm going to work on that after the 8 o'clock hour.
Strangely
we'll see
enough,
if Nordstrom's
me too.
Is open. I know, which is good. We have a texter say 8415. Dick Portillo also sold the business. That is huge.
It is huge, but it's still here. And still around, and but yeah, that was a big changeover.
And now not a Chicago company managing it,
right?
It is very strange because as big as Portillo's is, and is kind of identifiable as it is with Chicago, it's one of the really rare things because he owned them all. It wasn't a franchise situation,
right? And I mean, what does it become like Goose Island then?
Yes,
it's still going to be. It's still a Chicago institution, but it's.
Still good IB. Right.
Well, yeah. The hot dogs are made here, but the beer's made for New York, at least part of it. So
we had this happen so many years ago when Frango Production left the State Street location for Marshall Fields and went to like Pennsylvania. Absolutely, the flavor, very nuanced, but it changed. The water was different. It's going to taste different. And so, I mean, the thing is, Portillo's are still going to stay in the places that they are, but it's not going to be managed by a Chicago company.
Right, and the feeling changes, doesn't it? I mean, it just sort of, it feels different.
We don't have ownership of it.
Yeah, right. It's not something we can say oh, this is ours, or our guy owns this. Especially sort of when you see it, I think some of the time that's a shame, because you go downtown in the Loop, and what, 10 years ago you could see sort of an independent or at least locally owned business, and now it's all chain restaurants, and so you lose a little bit of your identity.
It's a nod to the success of what we've put together, but it also is kind of frustrating, because you're like, well, I mean, it's great that they were successful enough that they could sell out to, sure, but are they in fact selling out?
I think a testament to the fact that Portillo's has been so successful. I mean, it's elevated fast mm-hmm. food for what it is because, sure, you know, he's been so hands on. He could have sold, you know, a million times before now. And but yeah, you're missing something. I hope he decides to stay around. The kids drive by. We drive by Portillo's Manor.
Yeah,
his house that's over there in Oak Brook, and we see it. They love it. He's got big presents outside.
Which, and it's nice too, because he has staffers standing outside.
That's the way they do it. Yeah. Mailman comes up. He's like, "What you got?"
I have to say, I know that they're known for their hot dogs, but their Italian beef.
Yeah. The beef is great. God, it's fantastic. It's couple other things that have really shaped, or at least led the news here, or you know, talk in the hallway at least. The docudrama, and I'll call it a drama, of Chicagoland, which was a huge story as it developed, huge as it was going on, and then it became huge when they realized it wasn't necessarily so much documentary.
Right. I think the Tribune made some requests for some emails back and forth with CNN, and it... sort of when you got done reading that story after watching the documentary about that kind of follows Rahm Emanuel and his time, his first sort of months in office and years in office and tackling crime and
the gun violence and education.
Yes, exactly. I think it felt a little bit more that like it was staged. Then, and I don't know if people, after you read that story, you felt maybe it was a little more staged. I think the background is reporters know that at some point you have to cajole people, and the mayor's office is very buttoned down here. They are on message, on point. They very rarely deviate from that. It's very difficult to have an off-the-cuff conversation with the mayor, and so I'm sure there was a lot of cajoling. That's not to apologize for it, because I think some of the stuff might have been over the line, but
that is, I mean, from professional wrestling to modern day public reality programs, we all know that there's a good portion of it that is edited to a certain degree to get the result they want, to set up drama, to do something. I mean, the Real Housewives of anywhere.
Well, I'm just going to say, yeah.
That's all crazy. Yeah. So essentially, Rahm was just a real house husband of Chicago.
Right, but you want more. You expect more. Especially
from
CNN. You know, sit there and watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Okay, sure. It's some of that's baloney, but... if you're going to
really
put this on, I mean, you know,
spoiler alert.
I'm sorry.
Dane.
I'll turn on that. I think we expect more. If you're going to tell me CNN, this is a documentary, I expect more. It's a journalism organization. It's a news organization. And I want to know that this is the real deal, that you're interviewing somebody just as you would walk up to somebody on a breaking news story. Right. Maybe that's not a fair expectation because it's a documentary, but that's my expectation.
I will tell you, I don't have a problem with the fact that the mayor's office, the city of Chicago, made requests. You can ask. It doesn't hurt to ask. Where I took exception was the fact that CNN was presenting this as sort of unfiltered access to a person in a administration that is so buttoned up, that is so on point. I mean, that extends long before he was chief of staff for
Absolutely.
Obama, and that continued through Obama, which is why you rarely got a poor soundbite from Obama, because if you got it, it was prepped.
Right. And the thing is that today's elected leaders need to step back and remember, you are elected by the people. Your salary is paid by the people. And I think that there is sort of, I don't know, this power grab. It's always been part of politics. I'm not naive to that. But mm-hmm. I think at some point, everybody needs to step back and say, hey, you know, I work for the people. I'm going to answer any question that you have, media or the public. There was a.
It would be refreshing.
It would be refreshing to have an off-the-cuff conversation, and not feel like, I mean, I know when I was doing, I wrote for the Sun-Times, and I know I would get questions, well, what's this story going to be about? What's this going to be about?
Like, I don't know yet.
This is one of the things you learn in J school. I don't need to tell you what my story is going to be about or what the angle is. I'm asking a question. You need to answer it.
It's kind of a double-edged sword, and working in the industry where you've gone through the time periods where people, you know, the public would believe anything that was in the newspaper, they'd believe anything on television.
Right.
And then you have the whole internet thing where so many people have a platform for opinion, which I think is really important too. Here's the thing is, what people I think people now are taking everything with kind of a grain of salt, you know, whether they're jaded to it,
which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Well, a lot of grain of salt. whether they're yeah, jaded right. to it, you know, where they say like, okay, we can't believe anything. And I think that's why it's the importance of traditional print media and to raise those standards where you have at least some what you would consider to be trusted sources, because I think on the Chicago thing is that, you know, that is people's perception. Not everyone can be here. And so everyone's perception of what is going on in Chicago and whether our identity is a great food scene or whether it's kids being shot in the streets. You know, nothing is everything, you know, and I think that if we can get that message out and have it be accurate, it's important.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. The other thing before we let you go, social media, and Dane was absolutely just bringing this up as well, has really driven how media covers stories and kind of how the stories even evolve.
Absolutely. I mean, just to sort of jump back to what we were talking about, the Ferguson case really really, that story hit mainstream media outlets, newspapers, television, because of this huge push through social media. This is a small town in Missouri. There, you know, you're close to St. Louis, granted, but this was a story that really came about because of the Wall Street Group, Anonymous, all these various organizations really getting out there and just taking to Twitter, you know, not, you know, day after day, hour after hour after hour.
And driving this story to become what it became.
Correct.
Because I think it would have, while tragic and upsetting and mm-hmm. definitely needed to force conversations, it would not have been what it was.
Correct.
5 years ago or so.
Well, and what you're seeing on those things is you're seeing these stories not be the local news stories that they were. It's where everyone kind of decides how it relates to them and their situation.
Exactly.
And also carrying over other situations that they're still angry about Florida, and they're still angry
Absolutely.
About other things. All right, Lisa Donovan, news editor for the Red Eye. You can find those where great newspapers are carried, really.
Absolutely.
Everywhere.
And we're at redeyechicago.com. So
right.
if you don't have time to pick us up at one of our nice red boxes, you can go online.
All right. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in for Steve Cochran.